Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
That's a tasty beverage. Hey, friends, nice to see you. No Lachlan today. He's at a yoga retreat. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, no Lachlan. Gonna be doing yoga. Hope he comes back full of namaste. Just super flexible, really relaxed, and just full-on yogic. Namaste, Lachlan. Hopefully he comes back soon. Anyway, nice to see everybody. How are you? Good to be back. As always, brought to you by your friends at FactCheck. Join FactCheck.io's beta test of their disinformation killer software today. Go to FactCheck.io for more details. Also, Muse Massage Spa. MuseMassageSpa.com, 1290 Finch Avenue West in beautiful downtown Toronto, and of course, CanTorque, making it possible for people to use torque wrenches for bolting projects and solutions nobody has a solution for. Go to CanTorque.com for more information. Well, busy weekend. As we sit here on a Monday, I actually took a digital bath this weekend. For a lot of people that don't are unfamiliar with what a digital bath is, it's when you unplug. It's also a Deftones song that's maybe one of the greatest songs of all time. Digital bath. So I took some time off, but I was really only following one of two things. Following some Leaf stuff. Of course, they lose 3-1. Everybody's angry at Mitch Marner. They should be. He stinks. Even though he's really good at hockey, he's got a shitty attitude. Bad tude. So I followed that story. And I followed the continual breakdown of Canadian society. And one person who's been able to document it for the past 3-4 years, who is a very good friend of mine. She is a lawyer. Sadvocacy.com is where you can get a hold of her. She's a landlord tenant expert. She's a legal mind. She's a journalist. She's a videographer. Some would say she's a poet on a scooter. She's a societal scooter poet is what she does. Please welcome back to the program, Miss Karima Saad, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that smile.
A societal scooter poet. I like that.
Yeah, that's what you are. That's what feel like you are. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's weird because you're in the green room and you like had this serious look on your face. And then I complimented you and you had a big smile on your face. And that's boom when I decided to bring you in.
It is that easy. Just shower me in compliments and free
super
stuff.
Simple. Yeah. That's what I do. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you excited for Donald Trump Jr.'s appearance in beautiful Toronto in a couple weeks?
May 10th? I heard about that. I don't know what he has to say of interest or value, but I bet there will be interesting people outside. So we'll see.
This is why I'm asking. I mean, you know, you are Toronto's, like I said, motorized scooter poet. For everybody who's unfamiliar with Karima, at Karima Rules on Twitter, you capture people at things. It's what you do, usually angry people at things. And I tell you what, you want to make some people in liberal Toronto angry, bring a Trump to town to hang out with Ezra Levant, Viva Frey, and that entire group of very anti-liberal people, right? So, like, that is where I would be if I'm you May 10th. And it's 2 days, by the way, Donald. I have no idea what he's here to talk about. Other than it's just sticking a thumb in the eye of liberals all across this country, which I'm kind of a big fan of. You know what I mean? And anytime someone's like, hey, let's do something just to piss off an entire section of people, I'm like, I'm in. Doesn't generally matter what it is. So as far as it being, you know, a rub in, I'm okay with it. But I think that would be something I would go to. I would actually go to that. I might actually head down there that day.
Oh, if you go in, I would... Company.
Do you want to go?
Yeah, that would be fun.
I'll buy your tickets. Swear to God.
Okay.
You, me. You, me.
We're making plans right here, right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
I generally don't tend to go into events that are public or private property or are ticketed, like paid events. So this would be a departure from the norm, but I'm always into trying new things. So now that,
he's coming to town. Well, I don't see why you don't. I mean, like, you know, Donald Trump Jr.'s coming to town. Everybody hates the guy. He can't stop putting out, like, you know, 60 to 90 second clips.
Yeah, what does he do? All I know is his sort of jazzy videos where he's
jazzy.
is that an okay euphemism? I don't know.
Yeah, jazzy videos. Yeah, when you say jazzy, I think you mean like coked out, right? I think that's what you mean. I think you mean coked out. Like, and yeah, that's all he does. He does these videos where he does just rants, and it's so, like, none of them make any sense, and people just call him Cocaine Bear now. So I don't know if we have enough coke for him. I've thought of actually showing up and throwing a bag of flour on the stage just to see what happens. Because they're dubbing this thing the Freedom of Human Speech Tour. Freedom of Human Expression Tour. The Donald Trump Freedom of Human Expression. So if I go there, I have the ability, if I'm a paying customer, to express myself freely as well, correct?
Well, so you're missing the important freedom for me, not thee, which is sort of the implied understanding, I think. So he's free, but I don't know that you would be free. If not, I would be there ready for a bail, you know. So
bail variant?
It makes sense to bring me along.
Well, that's okay. Of course it does. That's why I'm first of all, I'm your friend, and you're my friend because I really like you. Second of all, I'm really fortunate that you're my friend because you keep me out of legal trouble, which is awesome. So I totally get the nature of this relationship. But more importantly, you entertained me, and you did all weekend long, and you do, and you know the ins and outs of this thing. And that's the question that I have, I guess, maybe to start the whole thing today, because everybody talks about the freedom of human expression, and anything that they can do and will do gets to fit underneath that umbrella of the freedom of human expression, right? So, like, I'm watching the Gaza stuff. You covered all the Gaza stuff. Should people be allowed to express themselves freely by taking over a college campus? Should people be allowed to express themselves freely by stopping traffic? Should people be allowed to, you know, take over a whole auditorium to tell everybody a bunch of lies, even though those lies are just a freedom of expression, right? Like, that's what I get caught up in, because on the other side, and you document it all the time, are the other side of people are like, we don't want anybody talking about anything. And so now this is like this kind of crazy middle that I'm trying to occupy. I know you occupy it well, where it's like, no. We're allowed to exist in spaces. We're allowed to do whatever we want. But people are also allowed to give their thoughts about how stupid those things might be to those people as well, right? Like, that's also freedom of expression.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that all happens within sort of we have legal parameters, right? And we also have social norms and a social contract, and that's not enforceable. That part's not enforceable. But what is enforceable is infringing on other people's rights while trying to exert your own. And I think that's something I run into a lot at protests, where people are not only trying to express themselves, but impede other people's expression. And, you know, that's, I think, the line that gets crossed.
What do you say? Because you're touching on something that, you know, I think a lot of people have issues. It's funny, you know, I've seen the tide turn, and there's been a concerted effort to paint you as somebody who shouldn't be allowed to cover things, right? Paint you as someone who has an ulterior motive for covering things. And I've seen it from the freak left and the freak right. Nobody wants you around. Nobody wants you to exist in certain spaces. And one of the stories I followed this weekend was about one of those people on the, you know, the purity left, so to speak, right? The inclusive left, which I just call the freak left. And the story around you and Dina Sharif, which was just incredible this weekend. Tell me a little bit about Dina Sharif, because Dina is part of a larger group of people that attend protests and are perpetual protesters. That's what you call them. And they don't want you to speak. They want to prevent everybody from having any kind of conversation that they don't like. But like, there's this weird misnomer out there where people go, well, people on the left are fighting far right this and far right that. And while that notion may exist, that's not the case around Dina Sharif. So where do you want to start? Because she had a fucking terrible weekend.
Oh, there's a lot to unpack with this. Yeah. I guess, yeah, I'll start with the notion of perpetual protester. And I characterize that as someone who shows up for different causes in different places and generally tends to try to dominate the scene or the narrative, even if their connection to the underlying cause is tenuous at best. And, you know, that we talk about ulterior motives. There are a lot of reasons someone might put themselves in that position, ranging from personality disorders to wanting to attract attention for social media clout, for, you know, to maybe leverage that into real world fame, for money. There could be financial incentives. And, you know, there's also the possibility of seeking some kind of community, as warped as it may be. So you can't paint all perpetual protesters with a single brush. There's, you know, a lot of reasons why someone might choose to express themselves in that way. But I do think there's something disingenuous about it, just based on how frequently and how loudly and how unconcerned they seem to be with how their actions impact what it is they purport to be fighting for. Because, you know, when you have a protest, even there, you can have different objectives that are at play. But if your behavior is consistently making your fellow protesters look bad or worse, then, you know, at what stage does someone reevaluate or double down in the case of Dina Sharif? So to segue to what happened this past weekend, Ottawa police on Saturday issued a press release stating that a 47-year-old woman had been arrested and a whole litany of really serious charges, very, very serious charges, ranging from assault a police officer while trying to prevent an arrest, to obstructing a peace officer in the course of their duties, assault with a weapon times two, intimidation by disorderly following, two counts of hate-motivated harassment, and I think possession of a weapon. So that's any one of those charges individually would be cause for concern. The cumulative effect, and considering that all of that happened on one day in a couple of separate incidents, is unusual, to say the least. And she was held for a bail hearing, and the bail hearing did not go her way.
Yeah, and that was yesterday, was it not, the bail hearing? That was on a Sunday. That doesn't normally happen. Obviously, there was an importance to the idea that Dina Sharif needed to be processed. And I'm just going to give people some backstory, too, because you and I have been chatting about this young lady for quite some time. Now, what we're talking about are real fucking charges, right? We're talking about someone from the left, someone from the extreme left. And listen, everybody, we can nuance here. We're good at this. We understand that not everybody who identifies as left. First of all, in just my opinion, if you identify as left or right, get a new gig. Come up with your own way to identify yourself instead of just saying I'm over there, over here. It's what morons do. So there's that. And then there's the extreme poles of each, right? We have the freak right. David Parker calls him the freak right. I actually appreciate that. And then you've got the freak left. And the freak left is the angry version of the freak right. And they don't give a shit just like the people on the freak right do. They're a misrepresentation of the whole, right? There are conservatives that are good people. There are liberals that are good people. And on either side, you got the militarized versions of these people. And in my opinion, that is what we're dealing with here, is a very violent freak left. And to that point, these charges are violent charges. assault police officer with the intent to prevent arrest, assault police, obstruct police officer in the execution of their duty, assault with a weapon times two, possession of a weapon to dangerous to the public, harassment by threatening conduct, hate motivated times two, intimidation by disorderly following. I mean, these are very serious. And what does that look like? Well, thank God Karima exists. And this is why a lot of people don't want her recording anything, because she actually captures those experiences. And keep in mind, this is not the first time this person has gotten violent. We were introduced to Dina Sharif about a year ago when the convoy tried to happen again, and she started punching people in the face with her fucking megaphone.
Those divisions were on display.
Hey, come here.
A counter-protester clashed with a member of the Freedom Convoy.
A big bunch of whiny babies who threw a mega tantrum last year in our city.
Yeah, so that's a woman. There you go. Did you see her just level that guy? By the way, they're not the only guy that's been smashed in the face with her megaphone. Here's another video or picture of her hitting another gentleman in the face with a megaphone. These are people that are advocating for peace, by the way. The loving left, the extreme freak left. Nah, we got to love everybody and to show up to show how good they are at empathy, good they are loving people.
I don't think she would describe herself that way, in fact. Like, there is.
She wouldn't?
No, there's a pride that's taken in being this militarized version, right? And in, you know, shutting things down, taking no prisoners effectively. So I don't think that she even pretends to espouse values like empathy and kindness. And that's
but isn't partly what they say. But Karima, isn't that what they say they're there to represent? When they show up,
who is they, right? And I think that's partly why this the right left binary is useful to some degree, but is mostly unhelpful. And I say it's unhelpful because this perception that it's normal or okay to only consider right wing extremism, and that has been the dominant narrative for a long time. And the Canadian Anti-Hate Network has a lot to do with why the media has adopted that narrative. And the clip that we just watched, even, the language, the way that it was presented, the fact that they took comment from Dina and not from the people who, she was assaulting, that framing is problematic. And I think emboldens even more aggressive and violent behavior among her and her counterparts.
Well, and it's proven by the fact that she got busted for doing how many different things she get charged with the other day? What was it? Five, six different crimes?
Like nine different charges there. And I would not be surprised to see more coming. And that's, we'll put an asterisk there because I think we should revisit the fact that it took a police officer being assaulted for charges to be laid, even though police.
Yeah, she's been running around doing this to people for months, right? Like she's been hitting
for over a year. Yeah. For over a year. So
and how many times has she assaulted you?
I don't have a tabulation. I can tell you how many police reports have I filed against her? At least three.
For doing the same thing that she's doing to all those other people that we saw? What else? What else should she do to you?
I'm not the story, right? So things that she's done to me, I would say are, harassing in nature, and herself and other people in her circle committing acts of violence against me. And the whistle is something I brought to the police's attention last year, back in June. A few months ago, in February of this year, Dina's co-host, Joe Morin, joked about giving her a present, and the present was this whistle. And she then took the whistle to a different city. This photo was taken in Toronto outside of a synagogue, and she put the whistle in her daughter's hand and let her have free rein. And these devices, don't get it twisted, they range from, I believe it's 100 to 120 decibels. There's some variance there, but extremely loud. And they're intended to be played in short bursts, as opposed to the uninterrupted, lengthy deployment facing it towards someone's ears. And these are designed as well to protect the person who is pressing the button. So the sound that they hear on their end is very different than when you're on the receiving end of it. So I've been complaining about this particular device and the way it's being used at protests for over a year. And again, it took for a police officer and reviewing her footage from the day in question, it looked like she was pointing that same device at people on the street, at people working in government buildings, potentially MPs. This should have been addressed a long time ago, and it just wasn't. So I'm not satisfied about that portion of it. And I think that just as the police allowed the convoy to roll in and set up shop and, you know, just kind of
exist, do whatever. Yeah.
Right. Like that inaction, it does a disservice and, you know, it compromises peace in the streets. And so I think that there's further action to be taken there. At the moment, it's just a relief that something is finally being done. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it got this far and that it's now landed someone in jail indefinitely until either trial or a resolution of the charges or a bail review.
Oh, first of all, let's, you know, not first of all, because we're like, what, 20 minutes into this podcast, maybe third. Third of all, let's talk about that. Yesterday is her bail hearing. She gets arrested. Tell me about the alleged charges in the day in question. What was it? What were the acts? Where was she? And who did she assault? What happened that day?
So there's a lot I can't get into because of a publication ban in court. Which, by the way, is not uncommon. I've seen a lot of people speculate that there's something shady about there being a publication ban and why is this information being withheld or hidden. It's very normal in the context of bail hearings for defense to request that. It's meant to be a safeguard for the accused so that any information that could be harmful doesn't compromise their ability to have a fair trial down the line. Now, of course, we live in the age of social media and wild speculation and video evidence of everything. So I will say that Ottawa Police wrote to me by email with their media department confirming that the events in question all happened on April 15th. And Dina, on her own live stream on Facebook, has video of what she did on April 15th. So people are free to review that. It was kind of framed as a national day of action. And I believe that she was at demonstrations in Ottawa, certainly outside like the PMO office and other government buildings. She's trespassed from Parliament Hill for unrelated reasons. Involving belligerence on the second anniversary of the convoy. So you played the video from year one, year two resulted in a trespass. But back to the 15th, she was also, I think, at the Israeli consulate, or at least like there was some kind of parade or march downtown. And then her phone died. So hard to know what she got up to after that. Although I do have a sense just from.
Yeah. I just reading the charges. I got a pretty good idea of what she did after that. Yeah. She beat up a couple of cops, resisted arrest. Yeah. Got caught with a weapon. Nothing major. I think peace.
No, but this is the thing. This is a day in the life of Dina Sharif. Right? So there's nothing actually unusual or shocking about the 15th of April that we haven't seen at other protests, at other demonstrations. The escalation here was that a police officer was involved. That's it.
So because a police officer was in,
that's like really troubling.
Well, because a police officer was involved, finally they took the shit seriously. Yeah. Because other human beings who weren't cops, and it goes with like, I've got cop friends that are like, dude, we're quiet quitting on the public because they've been such assholes. Like my cop buddy told me that. I'm like, why didn't you guys like arrest people in the Gaza thing? Like, it's clearly not cool. What they're doing is clearly wrong. Why didn't you arrest people during the convoy? Why didn't you arrest people that protest? That blocks streets and shit. Like, just start arresting people. Like, that's what I would do. If I was in charge of all the police unions in this country, I'd be like, okay, anybody blocks traffic, boom, pick them up, everybody. And you know what his answer to me was? And I thought it was fascinating. And I mean, I'm hardcore, totally. Like, it's not cool for me to say that, but it's cool because I believe that. So I'm okay standing on it. But he's, you know what he said to me? And I thought it was fascinating. He's like, you know, without, I'm paraphrasing. He's like, you know what? People have been shitting on us for so long. We're just letting certain people kick the shit out of each other.
That's a big baby reaction, though, right? Like,
totally.
Police officers, we should be holding them. And I guess they've never lived up to the high standard of integrity, right? So that's always been a fiction. Yeah. And it's just now, it's very clear now. But even the notion of quiet quitting on the public because people are mean to us, like, your job is to uphold the peace. So if that's not something you're able or willing to do anymore, no problem. But you can't continue having the role of police officer. So, I mean, that's, I'm sorry to say. And I don't think the answer is arresting everyone either. I don't really support an over-carceral system. I think that, you know, people should be free and kind of exercising their civil liberties. And where there are outlier individuals who aren't there with good intentions, who show themselves to be provoking or deliberately instigating conflict or transgressing on other people, you know, that should be excised like a tumor and everyone else carry on. But instead, what's happening is the tumor spreads, right? Because you see that there's no consequences for that kind of behavior. And in fact, wow, it's kind of heroic and we're going to emulate that. And suddenly you have a whole crowd full of people acting like Dina Sharif, where if it had been nipped in the bud and addressed early on, you know, we may see a different outcome. And I go back to, you know, when I was describing perpetual protesters and the disregard for how their actions impact the broader movements they claim they support. I think that that's, you know, a huge part of loss of goodwill toward people who have genuine issues. That they're and grievances and the overall frustration then with protest. And it's like, okay, well, there's been too much of it, so let's just cancel it altogether. And I don't think that's the answer either. But, you know, their public order, constitutional rights, you know, there's like a balance there. And I think that it starts with police doing their jobs.
Yeah, you'd think so. And it also starts with people actually getting some scrote and saying, yeah, I'm going to file charges against this person. Like, we don't have a lot of that. And then, you know, on the other hand, when you do file charges, everybody's like, wait a second, everybody's doing it. What are you doing? You're getting crazy filing charges. Like, I got that with you with a couple of people that you file charges against, right? Where, and I'm like, No. Kareem is a lawyer. She understands the law, and she's putting this in a legal arena for very specific reasons. I do not understand the law, but when something happens that is illegal, you have to actually employ the law. It's like same thing with psychology, right? When you've got an issue, a malady, you don't go to a buddy and go, I'm feeling sad, because the buddy's going to go, let's go get hammered. You'll feel way better. No, that's not how you deal with life. You put it in the hands of professionals if you need a professional result. To your point, speaking of a professional result, tell me about the bail hearing yesterday. I understand there was some gay pornography being played by some supporters. Yeah. I understand she didn't get bail. Like, she's still in jail. So take me through that, because I followed you. Follow Karima, by the way, at Karima Rules. Take me through her bail hearing, because she's Dina Sharif's crimes exist and she is a risk to a point where they held her over, as I understand it.
So I'll again reiterate that there's a publication ban. So that prevents me from talking about the specific evidence or reasoning that was brought up in court.
But what, so I can ask questions as you explain it, and any question's good, but you'll just say pub ban if I can't go there. Okay,
yeah, that's fair. Well, and I can give you sort of a general lay of the land.
Yeah, please.
So it's not atypical to have bail hearings on the weekend if someone was arrested on the weekend. It's not clear from the police release if Dina was arrested at home or elsewhere. Definitely, you know, the allegations come from a different day. So it's not like she was arrested that same day that all of this was happening. And because it happened on a Saturday, she would have spent the night in jail and then been brought to court on Sunday. And I think that there were 8 or 9 matters in Ottawa for the court to deal with, some of which were handled by way of consent release, which means that even though police were not sure about letting the person go, the Crown, once they looked at the situation and talked to either the accused or duty counsel or their lawyer, were able to agree to certain conditions and terms and sure. just allow them out, right? So there were some consent releases. There were a few adjournments, which means that the matter was postponed. And that happened for people to basically get a strong bail plan together, because bail isn't something you want to just fly by the seat of your pants. It's a very important step in the proceedings. And if you don't get bail, you're stuck in jail, right? Which is not good. Not good if you're preparing for trial. Not good if you have a job or a family or rent to pay, right? So you want to do your bail properly, because you get one kick at the can and then you're stuck having to go to Superior Court. So there were a few adjournments, and then Dina, her matter proceeded. I can say that she was represented by duty counsel. I can say that there were approximately 200 observers in the courtroom, online. And then
Zoom court? You were in Zoom court?
I was in Zoom court. And then there were people in the physical, like, body of the court as well.
Yeah.
You couldn't see all of it. And the first time that she was called up, duty counsel said, I haven't had a chance to talk with her yet. I do believe this is why there are so many people online. So, you know, let's come back in the afternoon so we know what we're doing. And as this was kind of being, you know, these logistical, non-substantive matters were being discussed, there was someone on the Zoom who put up their hand. And so it kind of, they came to the forefront of like the visible screens.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this very loud noise, very shrill, kind of staticky. And suddenly there was all of this explicit pornography on the screen. And like, when
there was video of it, or audio and video?
The audio, I think, was a bit messed up. And that's possibly because there were so many little mini screens of video that were being played. So I don't know if, you know, the horrible noise I heard was like just the fusion of all of those. But like, when I say explicit, I mean like very explicit.
Like you saw it all? You saw,
you saw everything. You saw it all. There was, it was traumatizing, to be honest. And like, I think about people who, you know, have experience with sort of non-consensual sexual stuff, who would have been in that courtroom, and how that would have made them feel. But like, just to give an example, one image was like several men piled on top of each other, and like they were all like a human centipede, but connected penis to anus.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yes, right? In like a dog pile. Right. And it's like, what is going on? So this,
I believe they call that in the real world, I believe they call that a daisy chain. Just putting it out there. Just letting you know.
There are things that I learned from you that I wish I didn't. I didn't even know that that was a common enough pose, that there was a name for it.
Yeah. Like, totally. There is. There's so many things you don't know. I teach you about the daisy chain. I could teach you all kinds of stuff, like the Cincinnati bow tie, not the place or the time for any of that stuff. But what you're saying is you saw daisy chain pornography with a bunch of men, and it was right there on the screen. And how long was that on the screen for?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. For me, time stopped. But it might have been, It wasn't longer than a minute for sure, but it was definitely longer than like 4 seconds. So maybe 30 seconds.
Is that illegal? Like, are you allowed to?
Super illegal.
Yeah.
And when court resumed afterwards, the JP did apologize and, you know, indicated that people would be prosecuted, you know, upon investigation if they're able to sort of figure that out. So,
you know, it's amazing to me, by the way, and just a quick aside, I have such a healthy fear of the law, right? And if I'm in Zoom court, let's say I'm in traffic court, and someone's like, "Sit here, Mr. Blundell." I'm like, "Yes, sir. I'll sit here. Thank you very much. I'm just from P's and Q's. Whatever gives me my greatest opportunity for success, sir, that's what I'll do." I get pulled over for a ticket. Some guy hands me a ticket. He's like, "License and registration." Calls me names. I'm like, "Absolutely, sir. Here's my license and registration. Here you go." Like, those moments where you've got people that do that kind of stuff blow my mind in 2024, right? Like, as someone who is a very observant immigrant from another country whose dad used to tell him, "Son, you commit a crime in this country, you're going to get kicked out and you'll never come back here again. You'll never be allowed in Canada." I'm like, "But this is where my family is." Like, that, I am literally, that is where my mind is still to this day. So the fact that people do that blows my mind, Karima.
I appreciate your healthy deference for the law. I think that that's, you know, overall a good thing. I think that there was a sense of anonymity because on Zoom, right? I would assume that, I don't know how tech savvy they were. I'm surprised that this happened in court on the court management end of things, because early pandemic, right, 2020, I could see how the clerks may not yet be familiar with Zoom. There's features that they don't know about, right? But we're at 2024 at this stage.
You got to be able to figure out surprise Zoom porn at some point if you're on them.
It just doesn't make sense to me. And I will say as well that the effect of this was to shut the court down. You know, the 150 or so people who were on at that time were all booted out. Mm-hmm. Didn't know when to log in, when to come back. Is anyone going to be allowed back? So I'm sure that there are people who just gave up watching at that stage. And even in being let back in after the adjournment, like for lunch break or whatever, like there was a very significant delay. And there were people who left Zoom running in the background and carried on their day, and they were still in the courtroom. And then others who were stuck in the waiting room for a very long time, and then got let back in and were unaware of the publication ban. And so were live tweeting stuff that they probably shouldn't have been. So does that balance out this whole lack of public access? Like, it was just a mess. So there's, you know, an issue there. And I don't know.
So she comes back. So let's put the, vignette of gay pornography aside for a second. Call it a vignette, special feature, just a minute. Just put it over here for a second. As bothered as people were by it. They come back and she's still in jail. So what happened from that point to, we're going to hold you over, because like, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And you tweeted about it yesterday. You're like, you basically are like, "Oh my God, she's being held over." Right.
Yeah. So between all of that happening, Dina was in like a room in the cell block. So there's like a steel bench, and she was in, I guess, whatever clothes she was wearing on Saturday she got arrested.
How'd she look?
She looked like herself. So I don't know if it was a brave face or if it hadn't sunk in or if she just thought it was a minor glitch and this was a formality and she would get out. She seemed unperturbed, to be honest, which is surprising, and different people will react differently to being in that scenario. I've watched a lot of, apart from bail hearings where I'm counsel, I've watched a lot of convoy bail hearings and, you know, with different personalities, some who maintain their persona when they're in that position, and others who the mask slips and you see that sort of vulnerability exposed. So in Dina's case, the vulnerability did not shine through.
Okay. And yeah, okay. I mean, I think this was on the weekend. She put this video out, the one in the parking garage where she was looking for a car. I think she kind of speaks to what you're saying. I don't know what you want to make of this, but I'd love your interpretation of it. This is the now incarcerated one of the leaders of the Freak Left, Dina Sharif, who, by the way, she's got a daughter who's like, I think, 9 or 10 at home by herself now, maybe making herself some Eggos. I don't know, but we'll get to that in just a second.
Anyway. Yeah, so according to Karima, Dacey is trying to file a police report against me right now. And if the detective charges me, then it's all going to be a moot point. So here they go again. I have a video coming out, by the way. Now that this thing has been postponed for 3 months, I have time to focus on it. But you guys are going to laugh. She's pulling the same thing with Dacey as she tried with herself. And yeah, it's kind of getting old. But hey, man, I get to go to the Superior Court. I get to go to defend the fact that I believe that she is in a conflict of interest. I have a 220-page document that argues the conflict of interest. She's just given me more time. And, you know, if a complaint goes into the LSO, maybe this will all be a moot point. Right? Anyway, I do not know where the car is.
There's a metaphor in there, right?
What is it?
Lost. Just totally lost. I think there's something.
She blames you, by the way. I don't know if you caught that part.
I got some hints of it.
Yeah.
What she's referring to is an entirely separate proceeding that, you know, I'm acting as counsel on, and where, you know, her behavior again is in question, and it doesn't relate to what happened to her on Saturday yet. So, you know, we'll sort of see how things develop and materialize. But it aged poorly. That video aged very poorly. I was right. But it's okay. That's not what we're here.
Does it kind of shock you when people like that, like you're a lawyer, very good lawyer. Does it shock you when people like that record like their take on the law and they they tell you that it's conflict of interest and she's got 200 pages and like some other bullshit that doesn't matter. Like when someone tells you, when you shake your head, I love it when you shake your head, you're like, I don't get it. But like when someone fancies themselves to be a parking garage lawyer, do you go, okay, like that's just craziness. Like some part of you feels sorry for people like that. I don't, because I'm like black hearted. Like I look at that and I go, nah, I could care less what happens to that person. I hope she goes to jail forever. But because I know what she's like in public, to the behavior aspect of it. But like when people LARP as like common law experts in 2024 and they're 100% wrong, like all of the fucking time, do you not just laugh in moments like this? Because I would.
You know, it's funny because that's kind of how I got. It's one of the roads that led me to being interested in the freedom movement, or at the time it was the anti-lockdown movement to begin with, yeah. Right? Like the sovereign citizens, you know, there were a few paralegals and lawyers who had their interpretations of the law that just didn't jive with reality. And I find that fascinating. So I really see this as an extension of that. There's an irony that Dina started off as an anti-convoy activist and, you know, ended up really emulating a lot of what they did and stood for and, you know, how they acted and what they are wrong about. Like it, so that's fine. It's to people's own detriment if they overestimate their level of expertise, right?
It's in everything. Like, you know, it's baked into everything that any of these people do. And I go back to it all the time, and it sounds mean that, you know, stupid people exist everywhere. A smart person does not impugn their freedom by acting like that, behaving like that over a period of 2 years, because a smart person understands that at some point that runway runs out, right? Or a smart person goes, well, listen, if I'm being a dickhead to Karima and her cameraman, if I'm punching people, kicking people, swearing at people, if I'm grabbing people, ripping their hair out of their sockets, which, by the way, she admitted to in this video, you would think that it would catch up with you at one point, and it did.
So a lot of people are concerned. Don't be concerned. I'm tough as fuck and ready for that kind of shit. I have her DNA.
Oh, that's probably where they come from.
I got some of her hair and probably face.
You know, like, someone who thinks that they're doing something for society, right, doesn't grab someone and claw at their face, doesn't grab someone and pull their hair, doesn't send their 9-year-old daughter into a crowd of psychos with a whistle, doesn't bring this little girl that she has with her as she gives the finger to people as she's driving down a highway in Peterborough, telling them to go fuck themselves. They don't drive 5 hours to someone's house so they can present them with a bogus piece of paper, just try and scare them. They don't do those things. Smart people, right, do what's best in the best interest of their freedom.
You know, I don't know if it's smart dumb or just level of delusion. And if we go by level of delusion, I could see how if behavior isn't addressed or curbed or identified as a problem, there are no consequences, then not only does it get normalized, but, you know, you add on to it a little bit each time, up to the point of assaulting a police officer, because you've previously assaulted persons X, Y, and Z, and nothing happened, right? And these are all still allegations. But, you know, there's a lot of similar fact evidence, I think, that will be relevant at a trial.
I played some of the video for you, and my friend Mark Borey always tells me, if you're going to go down these roads, make sure you show your fucking work, dude. There's your work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But to that point, these are LARPers, right? These are people who have it in their head that they're like somebody for somebody, and it's the most important thing to these individuals. But I can't figure out who these people think they're here for, if that's what they're fighting and they act like that. Like, who are they here for? Who do they tell you that they're here for? You know, they start out with the convoy. They want to go and tell everybody to leave and go home and give their city back. And then they go and invade cities and do the exact same thing at libraries. They go and invade cities and punch people in the face with their megaphones. So, like, what am I missing? Or are they just exactly the same?
No, I think that they are cut from the same cloth. And we'll deny that, you know, very adamantly. But the proof is in the pudding, or in the live streams, as the case may be, because the just like the convoy kept documenting their own misdeeds, you have people who are documenting, you know, stuff that will work against them. And the other thing is that I think there is a lack of principle. Right. And so if you or your politics are swayed by slogans or being taught to hate particular group X because they stand for the opposite of what you stand for, but you're not actually principled in that approach and you're just kind of yelling along and it feels good to have someone to hate on because, you know, there's a lot of rage that you're feeling and it's nicer if there's an outlet, and if that outlet it's justified and it's righteous, then, you know, full steam ahead. But because the thinking is devoid of principle, there's no ability to recognize or self-reflect on similarities or differences. There's no desire to empathize, and in fact empathy is seen as a bad thing. Talking to the adversary is seen as a bad thing. where in fact, I think, and maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm overly optimistic on this, but I think that sort of the best bet for humanity is to recognize one another's humanity. And where we fall short of that, or, you know, if someone isn't doing that and you still treat them as human, that's not an endorsement of their views or perspectives that are harmful or hateful or what have you. I think it's the best way to actually, you know, bring people on side and change minds and figure out where minds won't be changed and how do we still coexist with that? Because unless we're prepared to put people, you know, in camps far away or incarcerate them if they, you know, are wrong or outside of this, like what is the effect of bullying and shunning people? Does that make them more or less likely to radicalize, right? So
well, and that's what we saw with people on the right, right? Like, you know, you have conversations with lots of people, specifically on the right or freak right, as we talk about, is that, you know, it is all performative at some point where they're like, no, we need to keep the fences out. We need to keep people away from us and away from what our intentions are because they don't really know what their intentions are other than influence, right? Mm-hmm. It is absolutely no different on the other side. Anytime someone hurts another person, okay, this is just school root of like legitimately the root of what my issue is. My issue is anytime someone's like, to protect people, we need to hurt others. No, you don't. Absolutely not. You don't need to do any of those things. To protect my freedom or my privilege, I need to hurt someone else. Mm-hmm. Physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever those reasons are, spiritually. I need to employ fear. I need to employ hatred. I need to make these people afraid of me. And whenever that is present, okay, and this is something I think a lot of people need to understand. Whenever that is present, whenever the idea that fear is part of the agency by which you operate, and to keep people afraid is the only way that you can do anything or be taken seriously, that is because you are completely void of any principles, values, or virtues. And your whole goal is to be somebody. It's to be in an event. It's to be someone who you're not, who you really know you are. And so when I see these people operating with fear. On the right, they operate with fear because someone's telling them they're going to lose something. On the left, they operate with fear because someone's telling them someone's coming to take something from them, right? And we look at the messaging and where that comes from. On the right, it comes from political institutions, churches, etc. On the left, it comes from, like, you know, PETA and everybody who seems to think that progressivism is the only way to do it. And you can employ the same hateful, fearful, angry, you know, strategies as anybody on the right. And so now you've got like a perfect sea change of people who are willing to like legitimately hurt each other to try to get your attention as an individual, right? That's what the Dina Sharifs of the world are, is that they got on a couple live streams with guys like Joe Morin. These are people who think they're cool. And someone's told them good work at some point, way to go. And they're like, oh my God, that's currency in my world because I feel like a loser because I am. And so these losers then go out and feel like winners for a minute. And that feeling of feeling like a winner is super addictive to someone who's just been a perpetual loser. So who shows up to protests every weekend? Perpetual losers, right? That's people who are like, I don't fucking feel any agency on my own behalf. So I'm going to go and join these other people so I can feel something. And that feeling that they're looking for, that I've noticed through your lens and through these experiences that I have, the feeling that I think these people are looking for and they get it is being affirmed, right? Mm-hmm. It's being part of something, being right maybe for a second, because they've been wrong their whole lives and they blame other people for why they're wrong. They blame other people for their unhappiness. You tell me that Dina Sharif isn't showing up to those things if she thinks she's doing something bad. She legitimately believes, and those people on the freak left and the freak right believe that it is their duty. They are warriors for some kind of higher power. And the only thing at their disposal is to act like that, is to break their public contract. It's to hurt other human beings. And to your point, we've seen this last for I don't know how long. And I keep telling people, listen, it's going to catch up with you. And it caught up with Dina Sharif. She's in jail. She's in jail. She has been since Saturday, and she's being held over without bail until when? What are her next steps?
So there's a court appearance, her first court appearance coming up this week, and that'll sort of set her on track for getting the disclosure for her charges. But again, when you are in custody, it's quite difficult to review the disclosure, particularly where there's video evidence, right? Because you don't have access to a computer. So, you know, she's going to have to get a lawyer or figure out what a plan is if she's self-represented.
Someone's going to have to smuggle in a cell phone for her.
Good luck. Good luck. It's difficult. It's not the 80s anymore. It's not impossible.
You can't just bring a cake with a phone in it anymore. They've got like different things, right?
So she'll have to deal with her charges. And then the next step, if she wants to get out before a trial or a guilty plea or it resolves in some other way, she'll have to do a bail review. And that's what we saw happen with Tamara Leach and Pat King. They were denied bail initially and then got their stuff together and eventually were able to get out on bail.
Yeah, but they were in jail for some time. Like Patty and Tamara were in there for a couple weeks each at least, right?
So I think Pat King was over 120 or 150 days and Tamara Leach was at least 50 days, I believe, so close to 2 months. So that's a significant amount of time. And, you know, it sucks. Like jail sucks. So I don't, you know, despite the sort of, what is it, Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude, yeah. It's, by the way, my favorite feeling, by the way.
It sucks. It sucks for people to be in that position. And, you know, I hope that the takeaway from this is not let's double or triple down even farther. It should be let's reevaluate, reassess, you know, what parts of what we're doing are legitimate and in the public interest and proper forms of expression, and what parts of what we're doing are criminal.
You expect that? You expect some common sense from this person? Is that what you expect? You expect at some point she's going to come to her senses? This person here? You expect? You expect her to get it after some time in the cooler? Do you?
Maybe the people around her. Maybe she will realize how expendable or not she is. You know, I don't know. I told you, I'm the optimist, right? Eternally optimistic.
Yeah. Way too optimistic. What's the deal with her daughter, by the way? Is she like, where does she go? No one knows.
That's a good question.
Because I'm guessing just via her behavior, she's a single mother. Guessing.
Yeah. I'm not privy to sort of the specific details. I think that there are adults in her life who will step in. But if I'm not mistaken, the Ottawa Children's Aid Society is automatically notified if a parent has weapons charges. So that's, you know, going to be either dealt with or I don't know what the plan is. And I do, like, my heart goes out for that because that's an innocent party in this situation, right? One who I think we have all been watching get groomed into this lifestyle. And, you know, I felt the same way about children who were brought out in minus 30 degrees at the convoy. So,
you know, and that's something to be said, Karima. You know, it's easy to beat the shit out of the right. I've done it for 2-3 years now. It's a lot of fun. I don't identify with any of their values. Not many. None. But what is good for the goose, friends, is good for the left. Right? We have seen this woman take her child with her to abuse other people. There's a picture of it here. There's a picture of her encouraging her daughter to abuse people. That's what she's can't be any more than 9 or 10. Okay? Can't be anymore. These are her pictures. That is her business. That is not ours. Okay? Now, here's the really interesting part. During the convoy, I rode hard against them using their children as human shields in Windsor at the border, if you remember that picture. I rode hard against them bringing children in and amongst dozens of vehicles, running fumes, minus 30, kids outside, sleeping in their dad's Impala. I mean, you know, for weeks on end. Like, we rode hard and tried to protect those children. It is the same thing on both sides. they've just been able to pretend that it doesn't exist for a really long time. And while there not might not be a lot of it, man, oh, man, it exists. And what is good for the goose is good for the gander. If we call it out on one side, we can call it out on the other. And I've watched a lot of you people go after this woman over the past couple of years because she is unbiased and she will call it out on both sides. And this is the culmination of that. So I would like you all to take a big breath if you've ever had a problem with Kareem Assad and what she does. There is nothing, nothing untowards that she does. She captures it all and she calls it like she sees it, balls and strikes, like a good umpire. That's what she does. She's like a scooter poet umpire. So she calls balls and strikes. And what she's doing here would upset a lot of people who called you a white fascist plant, a Nazi plant, a plant for Diagonal, a plant for this, a plant for that. In no way, shape, or form have you not called all of it out on both sides. And being able to do this and have the currency to do it, there's one person in Canada that can do it, and that's you. Do you feel justified, or do you kind of feel sad for the state of humanity at this point that we're talking about this right now and the fact that you had to go through this for 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I'm not in this to be right or to be affirmed by strangers. Like, that part, it doesn't matter. So I'm seeing patterns, identifying them, calling it out. And to your point earlier, you got to follow process and trust the processes, even where they can be flawed as well, but it's the best we have. And just see things through. And I hope for like accountability. And I believe that, you know, a better world is possible, but not if we are just sort of blindly following one another in a race to the bottom.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Light at the end of the tunnel, right? Dina Sharif, she's going to be held accountable by a court of law, not you, not me, not anybody else, not the court of public opinion or any psycho with like a flag in their bio that misrepresents something for everybody else. And the other light at the end of the tunnel, and I just wanted to bring this up. We haven't talked about it. Our boy Chris Guy is shutting off all of his social media, as you can see right there. See that? Shutting off all of his social media. Says he's done, not interested anymore. Says it's done. It's over. I don't have any more T-shirts to sell, Dean. I'm done. I'm out of the game. So we might be getting to the end of it. We could, like, if I know if Chris Guy gives up, because there's no way that guy gives up if there's money on the table or in a garbage bag.
You know, and like I said, maybe the time, right? And with experience, sometimes comes a bit of insight. So is that what's happening? Is this a rage quit? It doesn't really matter. But, you know, if there's progress, there's progress. Take it for what it is.
I like it. Progress, not perfection. It was really nice to see you. Really enjoyed following your Schadenfreude this weekend. Continue to do excellent work.
Thank you.
Follow my friend Kareem Assad at Kareema Rules on Twitter, sadvocacy.com. We'll talk to you soon, bud. There you go. She gave me the peace sign. Can you see that? That's the coolest person I know right there. That's peace sign if you're from Canada. If you're from England, that's go fuck yourself, Dean. And that's one person that can tell me that. Maybe two or three in my life. That person can. Anyway, follow her at Kareema Rules. Fascinating. She has been calling this for 2 years. Going, hello, we got problems over here. Hello. All of a sudden she hits the wrong person with her megaphone. Now it's a problem. Hello. We've got problems. We've got people from the left hitting each other, hitting other people. They're like, oh, we don't see it. She's like, hello. How about this one? This one makes me laugh. Hello. We've got a problem here. Yeah, like I can call that one. The person's not normal. It's not normal to hurt other people to protect others. It doesn't make any sense. Not at a book reading. Speaking of book readings, I think you need to qualify to be able to read one before you show up to one. That might be part of our problem. Speaking of reading, not reading too much into what happened in Leafland this weekend. ladies and gentlemen, if you watch the Toronto Maple Leafs go down 3-1 to the Boston Bruins this weekend, you missed quite possibly one of the greatest moments in Leaf history. Didn't happen on the ice, happened on the bench. You want to see a team implode for the eighth straight season? You needed to watch about 10 seconds of what happened on the Maple Leafs bench the other night during their 3-1 loss to the Boston Bruins, where William Nylander told Mitch Marner to stop being such a fucking baby, told him it wasn't fucking junior hockey. Let's watch this together, shall we? There you go. And then Mitch threw his gloves, got angry. William Nylander's like, stop fucking crying, bro. This isn't junior hockey. Speaking of LARPing, Mitch Marner LARPing is an elite hockey player that doesn't complain for the last 4 or 5 years. Time to ship him out. No more LARPing, everybody. Get a Leaf game tonight. Don't care if they win. It's almost funnier if they lose. So all is right with the world. We got people on the freak left getting boned. I'm happy about that. People on the freak right have been put in their cage. I'm happy about that. I'm going to go enjoy my day. Had a great chat with Kareem Assad at Kareem Rules. Follow her there as well. You go about your day too. Thanks all. Appreciate you being here. Don't forget, rate, subscribe, everything new. Cryer Media, YouTube channel, Cryer Media, Dean Blundell Show, and go to cryer.co for more details. Have a great day. Bye. Y'all.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.